somebody was trying to interpret Barack Obama's statement that we are living in transitional times, and Barack said, no, 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 basically, we're living in transformational times. But there's really a difference between transition, which happens all the time, to transformation, which is a rarefied event for most people. Very few of us want to go through transformation. It's not so true when we're young. There's something very exciting about being 5 years old and thinking you're going to be six, and all of the possibilities that go along with being six or seven, and the attainment of new capacities and new skills, and the thrill of possibility that exists for children. And children pretty much embrace change and transformation up until about the age of 12. And then the hormonal changes start to come in. And that, for most people, is transformational in ways that are being dictated by our society, by our bodies, by everything inside us and everything around us. And that transformation, for most people, is as much as they ever want to experience transformation. There are definitely some wonderful aspects to what happens when you're a teenager. But the internal explosion of change, the explosion of becoming something other, something new, something that no longer seems to have a map, is hard for people. And most of us shy away. And we create a kind of barrier from our teenage years on to real transformation. We all want transition. We all want everything to be kind of predictable. And it's very interesting to watch people as they are entering the college mode, because they're starting to deal with transition. They're dealing with the programmatical possibilities of, I will do this, and then I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do that, and it becomes a kind of structured change. And structured change is nice because it's predictable. And we lay out a life for ourselves, and we sort of see the world forming in a way that our parents lived and their parents lived, and everybody has a kind of sense of comfort in the journey. Not complete, but enough to think, these are the stages I will go through. The endless possibility of teenagedom is so threatening to the psyche on some level. And not that we don't enjoy it on many levels. Most of us find a whole new kind of dynamic, a whole new kind of real energy and possibility. But it is very, very much information. It is information. It is less predictable. And therefore, it has a kind of threatening aspect. What happens when you are in transformation as an adult is that the predictable starts to dissipate. The things which you believe to be true may not be true. The path that you believed you were on may be taken away from you. The choices that were internal now become imposed by external forces. It's a very different experience for many people. And it is one of these rare moments that we are all entering into where it is culturally, societally, and environmentally projected upon us. We are all now being impinged upon by the same external forces. And there's something wonderfully collective about that, that we're all in it together, which is a beautiful thing, and it makes us all able to dialogue about it in ways that we might not have been able to do before. It gives us an opportunity to really reach out to each other, to anticipate people's needs, to be able to be sensitive to and compassionate for other people. These are the powerful and really positive aspects. The more difficult aspects, and I'm not saying that they're negative because they're not, but the more difficult and challenging aspects are that we don't know our trajectory at this point. Many people simply can't tell where it's all headed in the worldly sense, in the mundane sense. There is a kind of uncertainty principle that is forming in our lives. And that uncertainty principle is, in fact, not a new thing. It's simply new to us because our lives have been structured and created in a way, in Western culture particularly, where we really believe in certitude. We really believe that things have a predictable aspect, that this A leads to B, B leads to C, C leads to D, and so on, and we're all going to find our way to something. It's interesting that that something we're looking toward tends to have a kind of worldly aspect. We all think we're going to achieve some kind of, we can call it happiness, fulfillment, achievement in the world. We think we're going to arrive at something that we'll be completing. It's this idea that our society gives us, our culture gives us, that somehow we will attain the happiness that comes with what? It comes with, well, let's say, having a job that you like, perhaps having a family and children, having children who are successful, having had your money in the stock market so that you can prepare to pay for their education and their and your own future retirement, that everything is laid out in a particular way that is, in some internal sense, comforting. And then we realize that this was all built on a kind of house of cards. Not that it wasn't in some ways always built on a house of cards, because it always was, but we didn't know or believe that. People tend to want to believe in a kind of certainty in life, and life is not certain. And the great experience of this particular collective moment is we're all learning in a very clear and very dynamic way that life is not certain. The only thing that is certain, and we all know this now, is that life comes to an end. That's it. The only certainty that you have is that at some point this will be over. And when you start to know that, and when you start to question how you're going to get to that end, the real, if you will, spiritual questioning of a life can begin. Because what's to question when everything is predictable? What is there to question when you understand that you have built a future that will be exactly as you expect it to be? That you will move to Florida and play golf, and you will have all of these comforts and securities because you invested wisely, and that life will be good until this mysterious little thing that happens called leaving the world. A very good friend of mine's father, who's 96, just discovered he has a lung tumor. And he is so shocked by the fact that he may not live, that he cannot deal with it. He's 96 years old, and he's saying, let me just have one more year. One more year. And there's something wonderful about that, because clearly he loves life. He loves being here. But there's something curious about it, which is, what is he going to do in the one more year that he hasn't done in the 96 years that he's been given? He has lived everything according to the book. He had his retirement, he had his savings, he had a wonderful wife and children, and he had everything, but no way has he prepared for this truth of leaving the world. And he thinks somehow with one more year, maybe he will do it. But I will pretty much guess that that's not true. My grandfather, who lived to 103, was being taken to the hospital because he was having a stroke. And they said, we think we can save you if you want, but it would be intrusive, invasive. And we don't know what the result will be. He said, no, it's okay, I'm ready to go. And then, suddenly, about half an hour later, he goes, I'm going to die. And he went, I'm not ready. And he said, save me, turn to the doctors, save me. And they said, it's too late. There's nothing we can do. At 103, he had yet to face this inevitability, this ultimate transformational moment. The possibility that exists for all of us at this instant in our lives is the possibility of looking at transformation and embracing the possibility of real change in our lives, and a real sense that transformation is at the core and the ultimate statement of human experience. Ultimately, we are transformed from material entities into immaterial entities. We are transformed in a fundamental way into something much deeper and more profound than the life we tend to live moment to moment. And the exciting thing is that when you collectively go through this experience, you can actually share with each other what this is, the fact of change and transformation in your life, that this is an important experience. It is a radical experience for many people that we are undergoing as a society and as individuals in a society, and in this case as an entire world phenomenon, something that has never occurred before, a worldwide transformation. And somehow, in some remarkable and almost magical or mystical way, the world has created change agents, or those beings who are actually capable of bringing this about. Now, this doesn't mean we're not going to see unbearable resistance to this process, because that's what comes up. People start to get really afraid of true transformation. People don't want to look at it. We'll look at it when I'm 103. We'll look at it down the road. But no, now it's coming at us at this moment. It'll be really interesting to watch how we all respond to it and how we all grow or don't grow as a result of it. I cannot predict, as anybody cannot predict at this moment, where this will go or how it will function. But I will predict this. The idea of transformation is in our lives, and it will be in our lives probably for the rest of our life, that we are going to be facing this possibility in a societal way. We may blow it completely, because societies often do blow it completely, but that doesn't matter, because the reminder, the core reminder of this moment, is that you can transform now, that you can make the transformation within yourself. This is the extraordinary gift of what we're going through, that this is the time to say, I have to stop thinking about playing golf in Florida. I have to stop thinking about my retirement account. I have to stop thinking that I know where this is headed or how it's going or how it's going to work. I have no clue. What I have is this moment that I share with people I love, and we are all together somehow going to journey on this remarkable path into change, into transformation, which often means growth. And I believe that as a collective, we can encourage each other, we can inspire each other. We actually have a president who will attempt to inspire us as well, which I find very powerful and moving. We have an opportunity to say yes to real growth in ourselves. This is the moment of that. And we will either join in this process or we will start to fight it. One way or the other, there will be this person at the head of the tribe, if you will, who will sit there, and as far as I can tell, and I've spoken about this in class before, this individual who seems to have somehow found his way into the pinnacle of American society is going to sit there as a still point. a calm point that references what's possible for all of us, which is relax, stay quiet, stay centered, stay focused, and allow this enormous transformation to occur within you, because it will be coming from you, at you from within, as at the same time it will be coming at you from without. Allow this thing to happen. Allow this change in you to really take place. Because this is that time. This is the opportunity. It doesn't come that often in societies. Not in this way. It can come as war, it can come as awful pestilence and all these other things, which is all kind of the same idea, but this has an enormous positive potential. This is an opportunity to make the world other. And you know, the world, as I said, isn't necessarily going to go along with this in any kind of comfortable way. But rarely has this kind of capacity and potential been as immediate and present in our lives as it is right now. So the great thing is, for the next 4 years anyway, you will be able to open the newspaper and be inspired to change. That you will be able to turn on the news and have an opportunity to remember you too can make this transformation. And what will it involve? Well, it involves sacrifice, letting go of things you like or want or desire, and realizing that as stuff falls away, that which is real is revealed. That which is real remains. What is real? Well, it has something to do with love. It has something to do with compassion, with connectivity, with the eternal truths of human experience, with the sense that we are separate entities who somehow have a collective responsibility to one another, that we are individuals who have a capacity to care, and that we all have a relationship with something beyond the individual and beyond ourselves that is ultimate and pure and wondrous. And it is much easier to look for that and gain access to that when the world is no longer quite as attractive for us as it has been. It's possible to turn your attention inward, to begin to reach for something in you that is hungry for truth, for love, for compassion, to want it and to give it at the same time, and to really become this awakened, free, joyous, independent, and yet totally connected being. And it's what we're all working for. We're all of us working for that. And now, everything is pointing in that direction. Everything. So, you can look the other way. You know, I mean, we all have our instincts, and those instincts very often are look the other way. Or we're all very much connected to our old story. The old story is full of whatever. I have, I was, I had, I want. All of these things that are part of our life, the weight of our story, the weight of our drama, the weight of our suffering, we have all of that to carry us back into the old pattern. And that's exactly what you're going to see happening socially. You're going to see all these old forces pulling us back into the true, tried and true of the old form, which hasn't particularly worked. And you're going to find yourself drawn to that. You're going to find yourself saying, that will be better than the unknown that's facing us. And I will tell you, and I think our president will tell you, no. Don't go backward. Don't go back to what was. Don't go back to the old patterns. Don't go back to the tried and true, because it didn't work. It didn't work for you, and it will not work for you. What will work for you is opening to the unbelievable possibility of your life at this moment. And it is extraordinary. It's truly an extraordinary time that we have been born into, that we have collectively come to. And I think we have such a great opportunity at this very moment, and everything is going to keep reminding us of that for now. So I'm adding my voice to that. You add your voices to that. Share this with other people. bring about this thing that we are all capable of having in ourselves. Bring it about in yourself and bring it about in others by understanding, caring, holding hands, sharing your story, being honest, being open. I can't tell you, we have a community of friends upstate who have a great kind of formality in their relationship to each other. Everybody is very much socially appropriate. And everything is kind of prescribed. And all of a sudden, we are talking like real people. We're talking that people are acknowledging that they're frightened. People are acknowledging that they don't know what's happening. People are acknowledging that we can and may need to really help each other. It's really powerful. People, you never imagined that this would be part of their dialogue. There is a sense that the honesty of the moment is really liberating. And I think we can all have that. And you specifically can bring it to your friends, to the people you know, by being truly open about your concerns and your, let's say, your fears. You'll find it just brings about a kind of connection that has been missing, I think, for so long in our social structures. Just let this be a time of deep reality for you, and it will be a time of deep reality for all of us. Does anyone have any? Anyone have any questions about this?
Plenty.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's hard. It's impossible to answer the specifics, unfortunately. I mean, that's everybody's aware of that. It's. Never has there been a time where nobody knows, including the people who are supposed to know. It's a really astounding...
It's a relief. It's a relief, yes. It's really a relief because I think, you know, we've all had that and we've all felt we don't know, we never knew, and there was this pretense that kind of somebody knew, you know?
Right.
And once you know, you're stuck. Like, it's like, well, I know, now what, you know? But when you don't know, ooh, anything could happen, you know?
It's something that we all sense that no one quite knows what to look to. We're all looking in some ways to this Obama character who has appeared in our lives in some unbelievably odd but kind of divinely inspired way. But what he represents is this idea in not knowing, what do? You listen. You listen to the collective wisdom. The collective wisdom comes from where? The most intelligent people that he can find. You listen to that collective wisdom, but then what? Then what? Then you listen to the stillness inside you. You bring all of this into play, and then you listen to the one thing that does know. And the only way you know that it does know is because when you hear it speak, you know it's true. It comes and from a place inside you that has a kind of clarity. And what it says to you often, it doesn't say, do this and that will happen. It just quietly says, turn right. Don't worry. Take another step. Stop. Open. Be still. Listen. That is the certainty. And when you start to realize that that knowing is in you and in all of us, and that in some way I think we have found a leader who does that, that is something that we can learn and that we can do and that we can spread. That trust of your own self, moment to moment to moment, ultimately makes the world the paradisical space that it can be. If everyone did it, it would be pure paradise. That's not the way it tends to work. But you can do it. And you can have that paradisical space, meaning a space that is infused with yourself, this truth of being that tells you moment to moment, it's okay. My experience with it is often, I've described this many times, as you go deeper and deeper, but the voice keeps going inside you. It starts to go, shh, shh, shh. That little finger in front of your lips, shh. Because you don't need to hear words. What you need to hear is the unspoken yes, the one unspoken directive, the thing in you that knows. And it is there, and it is, there's no person on earth who doesn't have access to it. So, again, thank you guys for coming. Thank you for making an effort on a snowy New York frozen day. I appreciate the effort. I know it's not easy to get here. And I think it's wonderful that you're here. Those of you who are hungry, we have food, bagels and stuff, and you're welcome to have brunch with us. And if you're not hungry and not interested, that's fine. If you want to take bagels in the car for the ride home, you're welcome to do that. But we really do appreciate your coming and are happy to feed the body as well as your soul.
I just wanted to mention that I'm going through like a really big period of transformation right now too, and I am getting ready to share my voice, and I just wanted to ask for everyone's blessing and just, you know, to send some love in my direction tomorrow night as I go and do it. So.
Tomorrow you're singing?
Tomorrow night, yeah, I'm going to do some vocal recording, which, you know, once that happens, it becomes indelibly imprinted in
my right.
So.
Right.
So some help could be great, you know, like getting just love and good energy, you know.
What time?
Probably in between like 6 p.m. and I usually like to, you know, like I like to think midnight, but usually I'm there until 2. Let's say 6 to 2.
Well, this energy is there for you, but more importantly, this is a very limited part of a very vast amount of energy mm-hmm. that is available to you, and all you need to do really is open to that. And it's always, always there. And you know, you can collect it from the people around you, but in the quantities that you really want, nobody is going to quite give it to you. It's really, it's inside and available.
I just want to mention that Bruce is spending another week here in New York, so we'll have class next week in the country, and Bruce will teach again.
Yeah, I'll be there on next weekend for whatever it's worth to all of you. Worth a lot to me is that it's Rudy's birthday on Saturday, the 24th. And so,
Rudy's birthday,
yeah. We celebrate it every year, but because we're up in the country and I don't want people driving twice, we're going to celebrate it on Sunday, the 25th. And we'll have a cake and there's always a wonderful energy to Rudy's birthday. You know, the period between Rudy's birthday and his samadhi, which is on the 21st of February, is very powerful for me every year. And a lot of energy really comes through, very Rudy present energy. And so if you want to be part of that in the country, you're welcome to. If you can't, you know, at home. Sit at home on the 24th, it's just Saturday, and open deeply, and you'll feel that blessing in your life, that presence in your life. And if you can make it to the country on Sunday, you get cake. So you're all welcome. So anyway, again, thank you very much.